Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's a lovely May day. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Price.
May already. We're already in May. How'd that happen?
I don't know. We blinked and we're here.
It's almost hard for me to accept. I said, wait a minute, we're already in May. The year is going so quickly, and I think that when we consider how fast time is going and how much it appears to be speeding up, we have to think about also in line with that, how short our time is. We don't have a lot of time to get in our places in God and to do what God has called us to do. And I thought about it. I said, wow, this is interesting that we're in that place where we can blink and we go from December to May and don't know how we do it. And yet you ask yourself, what have you done? How about our lives? What if we, you know, have lived our lives 20, 30, 40 years and don't know what we did with the time, not because we didn't love the Lord or not because we didn't pray, but perhaps didn't answer our call, perhaps stayed too long in training mode, stayed too long in research mode or quest mode and forgot to move into purpose. And so I thought, my goodness, as we are looking out at this beautiful May day, realizing that we're coming to the end of May, which means we're coming up on one half of the year, I think that's very sobering, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, you blink, you're here, and you do start to reflect on what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my calling, my purpose, my time, my goals? You know, it can't possibly be that this much time has passed since for people who do New Year's resolutions or dedications or whatever the case may be. How far are you or are you not? Even with your own personal goals for yourself.
And do we know if we have them? You know, one thing I've learned in Christ is when before you get in Christ, you have one set of goals. Then when you get in Christ, God gives you his goals. And the conflict that we have is that often we do not shift our priorities or our paradigm to God's goals. And then we live our time in Jesus Christ frustrated. How many people have I heard say, I don't want to preach. I don't want to be a minister. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to teach. I want to serve God, but not like that. And you think about it, you know, and you say, well, how are you going to tell this man who made you how you want to serve him and then tell him to get behind your vision? And I guess those kinds of things are what concern me about the era we're in. But anyway, being in May, which I'm excited about, is bringing us closer to what, Ashley?
The Tulsa Prophetic Forum.
Okay, so we'll give you an A in the class, because you know if you didn't get that right, it would not have been pretty on the phone line today. But yes, we're coming up on our Tulsa Prophetic Forum, and the registrations are coming in, are kind of racing in. It seems like we're going to have an especially different one this year. Again, I want to encourage those of you who are out there who say, I'm not prophetic. Let me talk to you for just a moment. You know, you can hardly be born of Jesus Christ and not be prophetic. Now, you cannot be a prophet, but that's why we didn't name it Prophet's Forum. We named it Prophetic Forum. And we did that for a reason, because God's church is prophetic. The entirety of God's congregation, where his spirit dwells, is prophetic. And that is why you have dreams. That is why you have hunches, intuition, instincts, etc. Then if we go to Acts chapter 2, the church's first Pentecost, you're going to see that he said, I poured out my spirit on all flesh. Before he poured out his spirit or gave the second measure to his servants, his men servants and his handmaidens or maidservants, which we, you know, today we just know minister. But before he did that, he said, I pour out my spirit on all flesh. And, you know, we forget that he said that. And so when we start thinking, you know, what's our calling, you know, our ministry gifting and all of that, when we think about that, we forget that God started out by saying, I poured out my spirit on all flesh. And then he started telling us what we could expect. And that wasn't a passive action on the part of our Lord. He poured out his spirit on all flesh for a reason. And I like this. They were speaking in tongues, and, you know, people got upset. And Peter had to stand up and say, hey, but this is what we're talking about. We're not drunk. And if you go to Acts 2:16, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The 18th verse adds, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, so there are two dimensions of prophecy, that which belongs to the corporate body of Christ, and that which belongs to those who are engaged in God's service. Two different things, ministry service. Those are two different kinds of things. So even though they both use the words, the implication is that everything, when God poured out the Holy Ghost, he said on all flesh, the Holy Spirit is on everybody. Now, whether or not they know him, love him, have him inside, but it doesn't matter. God brought, sent by the person of the Holy Spirit, his word into the earth for everybody to get. Some people are going to get it really good. Some people are going to get it really bad. Some people are going to be very, very accurate. Other people are going to be inaccurate or devious, but it doesn't matter. God's spirit is in the planet, and I'm going to tell you why. And when I tell you why, you're going to get excited, and it's going to make you want to go to the phone or go to my website when this is over and say, you know what, I need to get the rest of the story. But here's why. Two things are dealt with here. The first thing is God poured out his spirit, so you'll know that you should be at the forum. God poured out his spirit on all flesh. All means all. He sent the Holy Spirit in, and the Holy Spirit is like the rain, the wind, the air. You know, air can't pick and choose who it wants to work with, who it wants to inhale it. Air just here. It's here. If you're in a plant, you're going to have air, good air, bad air. You know, it doesn't matter. But air can't choose that. You know, when rain falls, it falls on everybody in its vicinity. If you're outside, you're going to get wet. So God is saying, I poured out my spirit on all flesh, but all the planet has some semblance of God. You know, we get upset because you got your psychic lines and you're carrying on. And, you know, but the fact of the matter is all flesh got God's spirit poured out on it because God poured out his spirit on the planet. So everything in the planet can say something. Now, and can speak something prophetically. That means predictive or revelatory. Remember I said that, predictive and or revelatory. So it's important that you know that. So when you say, I don't need to go to a prophetic forum, you really are kind of short-circuiting your access to God's mind in your era and on your situations. Because God wants you to know he's been talking to you. Sometimes you can say, I hear people say, well, I don't need a prophet to tell me anything. You might not, just like you may not need a doctor to tell you you're sick, but you do need him to tell you what kind of sickness you got. And you do need him to tell you what to do about the sickness. And you do need to tell him to tell you how to prevent it and how serious it is. You see, so that's the difference in prophecy. You can have instincts. You can have hunches. You can have intuition and all of those kinds of things that speak to accessing, you know, information outside of your five senses or, in the case of your soul, by your sixth sense. But here's the point. The point is what the handmaidens get and the servants get is the answers. They get the prophecy plus the wisdom because you need the wisdom. Prophecy without wisdom is information, and it's nice. But revelation comes from hard fact, not from some idea or concept. So you want to connect with where you know God is speaking so that whatever God is saying you is not only confirmed, because all prophecy doesn't confirm. That is, you know, you think about it. Mary did not wake up when she was 15 years old or when she got her first menses and said, ooh, I'm going to be pregnant with the Son of God. That, no, that didn't happen. That was a shock to her. An angel is going to come and tell me I'm going to be pregnant. That was a shock. You know, Abraham did not know God was going to tell him, no, when your daddy dies, don't go back to Chaldea, go on to another place. See, so all prophecy doesn't confirm, but there is in every one of us some sort of spiritual apparatus that lets us know whether or not it's right for us and if it's God, the God we're serving. So when I say to everybody, yes, press your way. You have questions. You have questions about your children, questions about your marriage, questions about relationships, your job, your future, even your health. And you may have pieces of answers. You may have slivers of answers. But the difference between you and a person who is occupying or standing in that office is that the professional is trained to take and interpret your hunches and your instincts into actual life events or circumstances, and you need hard data. We're in a natural world, so all of that spiritual stuff is wonderful, but it still has to come into and surrender to the laws of the natural world, and that is what we do at our farm. So I want to encourage you to not dismiss this because you feel I'm not a prophet. This is not for prophets. It's the prophetic manifestation of God to his people. He wants to help the prophets, help the people. But he also wants the people to know that he speaks through them. Here's the second thing. You're going to love this. This is great. Here's the second thing. The second thing is that when you're in a prophetic environment, especially if you're not in a church that has a lot of prophets, or if you're in a church that has a lot of prophets and it's ready to bump up, you know, go to the next level, you still want to attend something like this because you want to be under that open heaven. Now, I don't say that, I mean, we all know that there are churches that God's just not going to speak in. They're not going to let him. He doesn't get a platform. The people aren't applying for him to speak. You know, they're not, you know, prepared to hear him speak. They don't know if he's speaking. They don't know what he's saying. Remember, there was a time that God spoke from heaven, and the people who were prophetically astute said that the Lord spoke or God spoke or an angel spoke, and the other people who were prophetically dense said it thundered. But just because you're not developed doesn't mean you should be deprived. Events like this are to help you stay in your home church, love your pastor, stay in your world, love your world, but every now and then step in and get a piece of information, get some insight. You know, sometimes we take a course, sometimes we take a trip, sometimes we do a retreat, whatever it is, because we need something that our day-to-day lives cannot provide for us. So I want to say to you that you want to be in a place where people who are seeking God like you are gathering, because the more they gather, the more God speaks, the more details you get, the more defined, articulate his word. It is an extraordinary experience. And, yes, it's worth your investment. So I'm saying this because God has been saying to me, people need to hear from him, but they want to hear from him in their homeland, in their home environment, but there's no access. You know, you can have the most awesome computer. You can have the fastest modem, I mean, in the whole world. If there's no access, it doesn't matter. The connection is possible, but the probability of it happening is not there until the equipment and the right faculties are there, facilities in this case. So you, if you're in a church where, you know, you can't hear from God, they don't believe in it, they don't like it, it doesn't matter. I'm not casting a judgment call because I believe God has everybody on the planet doing their share for a reason. But I do think that we should know how to migrate throughout the body from time to time to get this fullness. And so we invite you to press your way to this forum in June. Don't, without the attitude of I am or am not a prophet. We have a class on prophecy, not for you to just prophecy. We have trainers who just teach you about prophecy, where it comes from, how to entreat it, what it means, how to know if it's God, how to even make sure you hear it, how to prime your natural ears to get out of the way so your spiritual ears can pick up God's words. I mean, that's a whole session just for people who are not prophets. But if you're born of God, then you are prophetic because Jesus came as the great prophet. You were born from a prophet, Moses, down on the line to Abraham. If you look at everybody who had anything with causing God's kingdom to come into existence, it was all by prophets. And so that means it was prophetic. And so I want you to hear this because it's important. Saul had to go by the prophets to find his position, to step into his role. He had to go there because that faculty was needed if he was going to represent the God of the land. And so it's important. Here's a last fact. This one I think you're really going to love. And it's important, again, that we understand where we are with the prophetic. Let's go back. If I went back to, now I know you think this is my teaching, my dissertation, but no, this is an advertisement because I don't want you to miss the voice of God and the dispensation of God that he has planned for this forum in June. So this is why I'm taking time. Sometimes when you want to help people make a decision, people need more information. They need more revelation and insight because they need they might be making a decision, teetering. Maybe it's me. Maybe I should go. Maybe not. That could be the case. And so I'm just giving you more information that might tap into what God is urging you to do. If he is, in fact, impressing upon you to make your way to this event. So here's the last piece. On my maidservants, on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit. I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, here's something I want you to hear. Now, in the beginning, he said, I shall pour out my spirit. I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and they shall prophesy. And then, he said, and then on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It sounds redundant, because if God poured out his spirit on all flesh, then why would he, what would he do different with his servants, his own messengers, that he didn't do with the world? Because there is that general, the Holy Spirit is in the world to bring light and revelation and knowledge and the future to the people being born on a planet. That's a broad universal statement. But here's something else that you should know. When Jesus said, now is the prince of this world cast out. Now is the prince of this world judged, and now is the prince of this world cast out, and that I've come at the end of the age, and I'm wrapping this thing up. When he made those statements, he was telling us that the spiritual forces that dominated the prophetic up to that point, meaning all those fallen gods and goddesses and whatnot that they are trying to tell you are in control today, those were being replaced. Now, they had a run. They had a season, you know, but God was changing. He changed the planet, and he changed the planet because he changed it from a polytheistic dominion, spiritually speaking, in the spirit realm, to monotheism. Jesus became the only God. So God started with the nation and then took over the globe, which is what he did. Now, you can look at these things that are happening, and you can buy into that, and you can say, huh, yeah, I don't know. But Galatians 5 says, witchcraft is a work of the flesh, not the spirit. Now, that's interesting. Why would he say it's the work of the flesh when it used to be the work of spirit? Because the prince of this world, he who was ruling the world supernaturally then, got replaced. He was evicted. He was replaced by Jesus Christ. Now, think about it. If Jesus Christ replaced him, which is what he did, you also need to know that, so if Jesus Christ replaced him, then he also had to bring in the new spiritual forces to handle the supernatural, to keep creation connected with his creator, to keep the creator in charge and control and communicating with his people, with the planet. So that is why Pentecost was important to more than the church. See, we have everything so wrapped up in the church, we forgot that when Pentecost came, there was no church. It came to make the church. But Pentecost first talked about what it was going to do in the world. And so God wants you to realize that if you are of his child, then you need to get that inside information because God's messengers get classified information from heaven about what it's doing in the now and in the future that God has literally prevents other spiritualists from tapping into. It's kind of like, you know, we all get on the internet, but the internet, our government got a whole different thing. We can't get up in there, and we can't find all of that stuff out. But there's information flowing there that they need for their job that we don't need and we can't do anything with but distort. So I wanted to give you just some broader our mindset, a broader outlook on why the prophetic forum is what it is, why we are promoting it, because we're in a time of shift, people. We're in a paradigm shift. God is shifting again, and he wants us to get the advanced information. You know, when you work for a company, before the public gets it, you get it. And before the lower management gets it, the upper management gets it. You see, God is a God of order, and this is just how you work in a natural world. Now, it's wonderful to talk about how they do things in eternity, where, you know, in eternity, in heaven, they don't need to do that, and they don't need to do that, but that's not where you live. You don't live in heaven. You live on earth, and God created a natural order for us to thrive in this natural world that is a downgraded version of his. So we'll talk about that when you get here. We're going to talk about the difference between the two worlds, and we're going to talk about the apparatus of God's world versus ours. And we have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about what it really means to have the manifestation of God's children, and what it really means for us to know that Jesus is coming in the days of Noah. There's a lot that we're going to cover, and still you're going to get prophecy classes. How to hear, because, you know, your prophetic ability is for your life, your world, your family, your house, your business, or whatever God is using. But you need to know how to tap into it. You need to know how to help your children find destiny. You need to know why name your children with the right names, you know. You need to know how to discern what's going on in your family's lives, how to discern whether this job or that job is for you without having to pay somebody, you know, a buck a minute to give you something we don't even know. So I want you to hear me. God wants you to press your way. Now, I don't have a problem. Like I said, if God gave the all flesh the spirit and their sons and daughters are prophesying, that means that they're within the permission of God, the tolerance of God. But my Bible tells me in Peter's epistle that angels and principalities are subject to Jesus Christ. So he's calling the shots. And you want to find out how he's calling the shots. Because if you're like most saints, you're confused. Is God in charge? Is he not in charge? Is he winning? Is he losing? I mean, if we look at someone, so it looks like God has just fell off the... No, it doesn't. Mm-mm. God is the all-wise God, and he's in control because he kick-started the whole thing. The Bible says the deceived and the deceiver are his. So God's in control, but you need to know how to work within that. So may I encourage you, if I can, may I encourage you to press your way to make this happen. Don't buy the thing that says, I'm all conferenced out, I'm all this out. Because I'm going to tell you something. You probably should be conferenced out if you're going to the same place with them doing the same people. You've been listening to the same folks for 25 years. They don't even put a new person on the venue. You know, they got the same 5 voices, the same 10 voices or whatever. Or either you have those where one person says one thing and the other person unsays it, and this other person says, and you walk out confused. You don't know what happened because everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes. Yeah. That's probably frustrating, and no, we don't do that. No, number one, we don't keep you in church all day long. It's not church. It's a forum. It's an a literal, intelligent, educational, explorative environment where you get to hear, explore, and experiment to know what God is doing. So we don't do that. We don't have to sit there and call a class or call a church service in a classroom, a move of God. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to prime the move of God. We're not going to pump it. We want you to know what you got and to know why you got it and to leave us knowing what to do with it. We want you to have a hope. And hope is, you know, it's an interesting thing about hope, people. Hope is a very interesting thing, and it's very easy to take people's hope. You know, people, when you come to our event, you are investing greatly in us. You're investing in our choice of speakers. You're investing in our choice of content and material. You're investing in our order, our structure. You're investing even in our flow, how we do it. And you're doing it all with a hope. And the last thing that you need is for me to send you back home, dollar poor and spirit deprived and knowledge depleted. And that's why you're tired of conferences, because essentially they don't change. Essentially, you know, it's the same thing. You sing your 3 songs or your 20 songs, then you get up and say there's a move of God. Whether God moved or not, we don't know, but everybody else is moving, so we're assuming it's God. And then you get up and a bunch of people run around and they throw stuff or they yell at you, or we have this dancing, flying thing, banners flying, looking like something. We don't know. That's fine. once. But in the end, that is not what you came for. You came to get tools, tips, techniques, and tactics to make your life work. And that is what we do when you attend our event. You're not in church all day long. We don't force you to skip meals because God's moving. Everybody, you know, that always drives me nuts. I always leave. I don't have patience for that. I mean, we don't do that because we want to give you, we want to arm you. And that is the word God is giving me for you right now. He says, I want to arm you, you know. And it's great to have an awesome alarm system in your house, but if you never arm it, it doesn't matter. It just looks pretty on the wall. And there are a lot of things that God has in his house, but we are not armed for them. If you don't know the code, you can't arm your alarm, no matter what you want to do. And so God wants to arm you, and we want to give you the codes and the words that's going to help you rule and take authority in your life. And we have very few people who leave here and say that they did not get what they came for. Ashley, would you not say that?
Absolutely. I don't know really if I've met anybody who really came for education. I know there have been maybe a couple because all they just wanted was the prophecy line, the prophecy center, a word from Dr. Price, that kind of thing. Yeah, then you're going to be disappointed if that's all you want. But anybody else in all of the years that we've done it, it's more. It exceeds their expectations. Last year was probably the most phenomenal Tulsa Prophetic Forum we've had. The expectation from our returnees is already swelling up on Facebook. I'm seeing the posts about people excited about coming to the forum this year because it exceeds anything you can expect. What I love about our events, the forum and the summit, is that with the structure, God moves, and his moves are potent. I mean, if God moves on you, we're going to have that prophecy to the generation, to what's going on, amazing praise and worship, but we do not preempt the education, and God doesn't preempt the education either, even with his own move, because he wants people to come, as you said, to be armed, to go back weaponized, to go back with something in your hands with more than just a feeling and more than just a prophecy.
That is exactly true. And so we make it, you have workshops, you have seminars, and yet you are trained, and you know you're trained. We're not going to give you rehashed information. You're not going to hear information that you can turn on your TV and get and turn on your radio and get, because we have sense enough to realize you're pressing your way for something that is not common and that is not public knowledge as yet. So God wants you to, when you come, be prepared to learn. But you do. You get lunch breaks and you get dinner breaks. And you know why we give you lunch breaks and dinner breaks? Because we want you to bond with each other. We don't want you to just bond with us and our speakers. We want you to bond with each other. We want you to make new friends, form new alliances, network with people, find out how God is moving in others' lives. And you can't do that if we got you sitting there looking at us for 12 hours a day. That cannot happen. So we have it structured. Everything is deliberate. It's deliberate, designed to see to it that you get maximum outpouring from God, whether it's pouring out from somebody you're having lunch with or whether it's pouring out from the pulpit or the praise and worship or, as Ashley just said, the prophecy line. We do it all. But understand, we want you to leave armed and we want you to leave fortified, ready to take on your life and to take and implement over the next 11 months, what it is that you have so richly invested in. And I want to close on this thought with this fact, and then we're going to bring our prophet that's on the ground. But I want to leave you with this fact. I have my sense of integrity is this. I know that when people go to conferences and events, they spend a lot of money. Some of you are putting rent on hold, you're putting this bill on hold, you're putting another need on hold, you're taking time off work, you're using valuable vacation time and all that. Those things should be treated as an investment, and they certainly are an entrustment to me. I refuse to let people spend that kind of money and go home depleted and go home disappointed. I just won't do it. And I don't want to send you home with just a piece of candy and a lump of figs. I want to send you home with meat, with tools. And so, again, we arm our attendees with strength. God keeps giving me this word. Somebody needs to hear this. You're like, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're worn out. You're like, I've heard it all, seen it all, done it all. You almost don't want to hope again. I don't even want to give anybody else another shot. Well, I think you should. No matter how frustrating people are, Jesus is worth it. And he doesn't quit. Jesus doesn't give up. He's just going to go move to the next place, move to the next church, move to the next this, and move to the next that. But I think the church, we need to shift how we do things. And the one thing I don't want to do is overtax your capacity to receive from God. And that happens to us far too many times in events. We overtax people's capacity to hear from God. After they've heard so much from us, they don't want to hear anything. I've heard from this one, that one's testimony, this one's story, that one's. We don't do that. We bring you here to enrich you, to empower you, enable you, and again, to arm you with strength for the battle, strength for the building, and also strength for the body of Christ and what God wants you to do in the future for destiny. Your destiny is important. Wanted to say that before we went to our prophet who is on the ground.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, Dr. Price. What a powerful intro to the show today. I know that those of you that are listening out there are already putting together how you're going to make it here in June. So I want to help you out. We're going to talk for a few moments about the Prophetic Forum and getting out here to see us in next month in June. The dates for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, they are the 19th through the 21st of June. The 19th is a Thursday. The forum starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. So if you're making flight arrangements, you actually want to fly into town on Wednesday, June 18th. So Wednesday, June 18th. If you're flying in town early, there's an orientation on Wednesday night at 7:30. It's not required, but it's suggested. We suggest if you come in town, you definitely come by and see us for orientation, which is at 7:30. But the forum officially starts 8 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, June 19th, and it's going to go all the way through Saturday, the 21st. It ends at noon on Saturday. So again, if you're making your flight arrangements, you can plan to fly out a little bit after noon on Saturday, the 21st. I want to answer a few emails that have come in to us. First of all, I want to thank you guys. We love you all so much. You are what make all that we do worth it. We love our listeners. Thank you for emailing us your feedback. And also, thank you for emailing us your questions. So I had a question come into the email this week about the forum and kind of what to expect and how the flow of the forum goes. So I just want to take a moment to share with you all how the flow of the forum is so that you know what to expect. The way that the forum is done is that during the day we have general assemblies, so everyone will be together. There are workshops and classes that are subject specific that happen during the daytimes at the forum. And then at night, we usually lead into the evening with powerful worship, a little bit of prayer, and then you go back into class for the evening. So the schedule for the forum is busy, busy, busy in a good way. We want you to bring your laptops. Make sure you bring enough of what you need to take very good notes because you're coming out to actually do class. And not necessarily for your typical, like Dr. Price was saying, your typical conference type of environment. Expect to be challenged. Expect to be pressed. And expect to be informed. There's a little phrase that we say that you're going to come seeking, but you're going to leave knowing. And the past couple of years, we have talked a lot about the Daniel prophetic era and being ready for the things that we're going to have to face as prophetic people in the days to come. So if you are looking to tap into where God is now, if you are looking to understand more about how he's moving with his prophets, with his prophetic people, and really how to be prepared for the seasons to come, then this is the event that you want to attend. If you're listening out there and you are the head or director of a prophetic company or you have intercessors under your care, this really is the event that you want them to be in. We have a session specifically concentrated on prophetic intercession. There's really a week from the prophetic forum. It's a great time for them and also for your prophetic team. You're going to get an opportunity to really see how your prophetic company should flow, the kinds of prophets you need on your team, the kinds of seers and psalmists, and how to really put that team together and make sure that you are maximizing your ourselves as prophetic vessels. So this really is the prophetic event of the year. We only do this once. Many times people beg us to do it over and over, but for now we do it once a year, and this is the one not to miss. So we want you to come out and see us June 19th through the 21st. We are going to do another special today. So if you're out there listening on the line and you've been listening to Dr. Price and you're saying, I really want to be there. I've got to be at this year's Prophetic Forum. We're doing another special today. If you are the first five callers, one of the first five callers to press one, or if you're just listening right now, if you press one, you just have to be one of the first five that gets grabbed by Prophet Ashley, and you can be eligible for 50% off of your forum registration. Yes, folks, I did say 50. 50% off your forum registration. That's happening right now. Go ahead and light up those lines and then send up a prayer. Say, God, make sure Prophet Ashley picks me if you want to get that 50% off. That's happening right now. So press one if you're on the line and that's what you want to do. If you're not, if you haven't pressed one yet, you're just listening, that's all right. Just press your one and it's going to get you right to the line. We want to let you know that there is a bus that is coming down from the Chicago area. Our sister church in Joliet, Illinois, is Antioch Christian Assembly under Apostle Nona Parker, who's also one of our guests at this year's forum. They are bringing a bus down from Joliet, which is just anywhere near Chicago. If you want to save a little bit of money, then we suggest you actually come into that Chicago area and drive down on the bus. It's a charter bus, very nice. You'll be comfortable. And what a prophetic trip to come down from Chicago to Tulsa. You'll be amongst prophets and prophetic people. It's going to be a powerful time. I am sure of it. You can actually find information about that if you go to www.antiochcaci.org. You actually want to go to the website and hit that contact us button so that you can connect with the church and find out more information about when that bus is leaving and what you would need to do to be a part of that bus. You also want to call as soon as you can to make sure that it's not full, because we've been talking about this, the bus coming down for a couple of months here. So it may be full, but we want you to go ahead and call, get the information you need if you're going to be in that area so that you can join us in that, because we want to see you here for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. So if you're in that area, take advantage of that. All right, just a few other things before I let you go. You know, I'm the prophet on the ground, so I got to make sure that you guys know all about the things that are going on. If you have been visiting Dr. Price's site lately, then you know a little bit about a special we've been doing on purpose. So much of our Paula Price Show audience lets us know that Dr. Price helps them to key into purpose and to their identity. Dr. Price always says that identity is the key to destiny. Identity is the key. So what we do at Paula Price Ministries and PPM Global Resources is we specialize in your purpose. Right now, through the 31st of May, we are running our purpose special. We do mentorship programs, one-on-one training and development. We help to equip you for your upcoming ordination and your licensing. We also help you to get to the road of where you want to be, along with helping you discover what exactly that road looks like. We do it all from the, if you're starting at the very beginning of your journey and you need to know about what your purpose is, or if you're right in the middle, you just need training and development, or if you're on your home stretch, we have something for you. What we want you to do is we want you to text us. We have a special text number. We just want you to text us so we can talk to you more about our purpose special and how we can help you find your prophetic place. Amen. Don't you think it's time you found your prophetic place? So we want you to text us and text purpose, the word purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E, to our text number, which is 918-602-2123. Again, 918-602-2123. Text purpose to us right now. Do not wait. Do not delay. Let us help you get into place. We want to help you find that identity that's going to be your key to death. Certainly not least, definitely follow Dr. Price on Facebook.com. You want to do Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price or Twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price so that you can be all in the know about what Dr. Price has going on. On Facebook, she always posts a morning message for all of us, a very empowering prophetic message, prophetic and apostolic. You don't want to miss that. So log on, Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price, also twitter.com/DrPaulaPrice so that you can stay in the know. We want to hear from you. We love our listeners. So give us a post after the show. Let us know how Dr. Price is blessing your life. Let us know how this is changing you. And also let us know if we're going to see you at this year's Tulsa Prophetic Forum.
Well, all right, Prophet Adia Peterson, bringing those announcements and keeping us connected with what's going on with Dr. Price, as always. Thank you. She's my wingman, and I appreciate that about you. Dr. Price.
Well, you know, I was sitting here having such a blast listening to all that she had going on. I thought, well, I want to push the button one, and then I want to go and text Purpose, because, my goodness, it is just marvelous. And so I'm having a great time listening to you guys do what you do. I always like to tell people, you know, it's great that I do what I do and I've learned and trained and whatever, but it's wonderful to see my fruit in action. I never get tired of it. I absolutely love it. I'm probably going to love it till I go home to be with the Lord, because it's wonderful to see it. It's kind of like being a natural parent and watching your children. Oh, well, I got one of those too. But anyway, watching your children just carry on with what you're doing, become what you envision, become what you have taught them, and then to carry it on. So I'm always excited about that. And, you know, Prophet Adia, I get a kick out of her. Ashley, I want to talk a little bit this morning. You know, we've covered the prophetic piece, had to. But I wanted to talk a little bit about where we are. If you have been following me on Facebook the last couple of days, you will have noticed that I have been talking about the Bible. You know, the Bible that we don't like to read, or the Bible that we find too difficult, and we've been told that it's outdated and all of that. And I've been making a great case for the Scriptures, a great case for the Bible, because we need it. And so I'd like to just address a little something that the Lord had put upon my heart. He kept giving me this word for the last couple of weeks. And those of you who study Scripture on your own, perhaps you want to explore it a little further on your own time. But God began to talk to me about His Word and what He feels and what's going on. And so finally, in Chronicles is where I want to go. And so, you know, the king is in trouble, the nation's in trouble, people, God's not answering, God's not blessing. There's famine upon famine in the land, and where there's not famine, there's war, there's battles, there's destruction. The crime is as a ridiculous proportions. This is not 21st century America, by the way. This is not 21st century world. This is Chronicles, Bible times. You know, the Bible that we say is outdated. And so, you know, finally, God will, he'll let a series of ineffective leaders just roll on through, because if you notice, you don't really get a lot of good leaders in a row. You'll get one good leader, and then you'll get a couple of mediocres, and then you'll get a couple of really poor leaders, and then we come back to the good. You know, God's cycle is, because of the darkness that's born within us, we don't really know what a good leadership is until we've experienced it. We, you know, unbelief will make us say, well, I don't, you know, that's not how I see it, that's how you see it. And until our theologies and ideologies act out in the theater of life, we don't know if they're good or bad, you know? And we must see their consequences before we believe. That's normal. Take David. God put Saul up before David because Saul came right after Eli, who was a horrible priest. He was a horrible leader. Eli was, he was self-indulgent. He was old and tired. He had given power to his children too quickly, had given them power and authority. He passed the reins over to them before they were ready. They did not have a clue. He also apparently did not live what he preached, because the kids, his sons grew up with such hostility against God, such a resentment against his word, bitterness all over the place. They were vile boys. I mean, so much so that to them, they were having taken all of the innocent women in the region and having sex with them on the mountain in public, you know, just publicly. And they just, I mean, so they were molesting the women. They were stealing the offering. I mean, it was so bad that the language God used, you can tell God was a seething fury by the time he got ready to judge this thing. And he had to put up with it because the replacement that he had handpicked wasn't ready. And until it was ready, God tolerated a lot of mess. I mean, they took his money, they took his people, they ruined his children. It was just horrible. This is Eli. And so finally, Eli, I mean, I guess by the time, you know, your kids get grown, if you don't, you know, if you do not impress upon your children who you are and your standard and give them your moral compass when they're young and they value you, well, come on, you're exhausted. So these kids are tearing it up. I mean, they are wrecking the priesthood. And as a result, since it was the ruling power of the nation, they are literally wrecking the nation. As a result, the people don't know right from wrong. They don't know God from any other God. They don't know anything. And meanwhile, Eli is like, I'm out. I'm old. I'm tired. I don't know how it got this way. I can't fix it. The problem is too big for me, so I'm done. But God was furious. And so he finally gets Samuel ready. He finally gets him ready. And Samuel probably doesn't even know that he's ready. And so before he does it, you know, God goes and we know the story. Many of us, you know, first the prophet comes and then Samuel is given the very same word as his preview, you know, his debut, if you will. And so he's given the very same word. Eli gets the word. He's stunned, but he has to say amen to God because, you know, even though a poor leader may not let you know they miss it, they know, because God does not come down on people until he tells them via dream, vision, prophet, experience, whatever. He tells people what's going on. That's why very few people who suffer can't say that they don't know how to trace it back to what the cause is. The issue is that God takes so long. He gives you such a long rope. You know, you 15, 20 years, 25 years, life looks good, because God lets you reap all the sin says it's going to give you so that he can give you all of his wages when it's time. So it's going to take a little while. So it took a little while with Samuel. And so finally Samuel gets ready. Now we have Eli, the poor one. We got Samuel, the positive one. But Samuel was taught in ministry well, but he did not. He also was taught by Eli how not to pass it on to your kids. So here we are. Samuel's ready to go. He's done his time. The nation's mad. I don't want your son, because they still remember Eli's boy. So they know this is not going to be good. So they don't want his kid. And so Samuel has to pick a king. God picks the king, and he picks the king that is according to the attitude of the people, according to the people's value system. They want something tall, handsome, lovely, appealing. They want it all on physical attributes. That's what they want. God's like, fine, because you all are shifting off anyway, so I'm going to let you all have this season. Gives them that season. But before he does, he has Samuel say, now listen, I know you all don't know about kings, but I'm God. I've been around a long time, and I'm going to tell you how a king does kick. And he begins to tell them, Samuel outlines in Deuteronomy 18, where Moses told them how the king is going to act and how they shouldn't act. And then Samuel begins to tell them how this king is going to behave. Well, he already knows. God has shown him the guy that I chose is going to make a mess out of them. But they don't want to hear it because they're mad with me. They don't want me to rule them any longer. If God's too hard, you know, the same crew back at the mountain with Moses. Moses, we don't want to hear his voice. We're scared to death. If we listen to him one more time, we're convinced we're going to die. Now, you've heard him for like, I don't even know how many years. You're still living. So apparently that can't be true. But anyway, Moses, you go listen to what he says and come back and tell us. When people don't want to continue in God, or when that next generation has not been adequately primed to extend their successors, this is what they feel. So they don't want to hear anything. They become very close-minded and very, very obstinate. So they were obstinate with Samuel. We want a king like everybody else. We don't want an unseen king. You know, people get mad with God because he's unseen. So they want. I don't want an unseen king. We don't want an invisible king. We want somebody that we can see going ahead of us. We need him to be tall so we can see him when he goes ahead. And so God gave them what they wanted. And so Saul did exactly what Samuel predicted because, well, Saul was built to do that. That's why he was built. But Saul had another very important purpose. His purpose was to make people fall in love with David. By the time Saul's tenure were up, boy, oh boy, they were sick of self-serving kings, self-serving leaders who made self-serving kids, who created self-serving leaders. It was just bad. They were like, Okay, so you might be our first king. Maybe we were a little hasty with this. We probably shouldn't have gone that way. But now they have to live with it for 40 years. That's a long time to live with bad leadership, you know. And I guess maybe that can make a case for voting in or whatever. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But that's another thing. So they got to get rid of him. Now it's time for Saul to leave. And I'm telling you, Saul still has a small faction. You know, many times you all get confused when a poor leader still has a following because you think that if they were that bad, then everyone would abandon them. But you have to realize this poor leader had people who agreement. You know, the church has bad and has good members and bad, and countries have good citizens and bad, you know. So and each one has their leadership choice. So don't measure a fallen leader's integrity or their righteousness by the wrong folk that keep following them. Some people are just stubborn. Some people don't like change. Other people are like, I feel the same way about God that he does or she does. So, hey, we're going to stay with him. And so Shimei, remember Shimei, he loved Saul. Saul had wrecked the nation. The army was devastated. The treasury was utterly depleted. The enemies hated them. The people had no work. There was war all over the place. But you know what he thought? No, but that was my man. He was good. Now, there was nothing that this man left behind as a decent legacy except David. And yet this guy hated him long after he was dead. Because there are some people who are just loyalists. That's all right. But you can't measure God's righteousness by people's loyalty. And so, finally we get to David. I'm telling you, these people are thrilled. David is wonderful. Because you know why? They know how a bad king is. By the time David comes and he does the exact opposite, they understand now good and poor leadership. Because remember, they had Eli, and we can go on back, but they had Eli, and then we had Samuel, and then we had Saul, and then we had David. Because God is a God that's going to answer everybody's prayers because he has to, because he is it. It all stops with him. It ends at his death. So there will be a season where if the majority of people are pushing for a invisible king, that's what they got. When the people's cry rises up to heaven and they're sick of the mess and they can't stand it any longer, or their generations, because usually the people who trigger the calamity are dead by the time the consequences kick in. You know, that's why the laws that we're voting today, don't worry about it. The people who are voting those laws will never know what they feel like. They won't know because they're going to be dead by the time those laws make their way throughout the country, and the people to suffer from them are the ones, because it usually takes about 15, 20 years. So the real casualties are going to be their seed, their generations, you know, et cetera. So, but that's how life works. So here's, David does a great job. After David, we get Solomon. Solomon starts out great. He's a little iffy. But then we have a line of kings that are coming on down the line until, you know, again, the pattern repeats. If somebody does it right, somebody undoes it. Somebody undoes the righteousness for wrong. Somebody undoes the wrong for righteousness, and the cycle goes on, even down to how it is. I wanted to read this to you from 2 Chronicles 15, because every time God brings his people back home, he brings them back home through his word. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him." See, we don't read that kind of stuff to you guys. You know, we tell you to treat God any old kind of way, and he just got to hang out, and he's stuck because he has no feelings, because he's really not a person. He's just a blob. He's just an element. We don't know. But here it says, "For the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the age." And so we really felt that that meant everybody that comes in. No, "I will never leave you or forsake you who are with me and who are in me. I'm never going to forsake the entity called the church. Never. I'm never going to abandon the church. It's like I never abandoned Israel." But now, there are folk in the church who will choose not to be bothered with me, and he has a word for them called apostatizers. We don't teach about apostasy any longer, but we probably need to, because these are the people who said, "I tried it, tested it, hated it, don't like it, I'm out." So that's just what they are, and God gives people the free will to do that. But going back to the Israel now, but now God's ready to restore. And so this is what he's saying, 2 Chronicles 15:3, "Now for a long season has Israel been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law? But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Now, when did they want to seek him? When there was no peace for them in the street, crime was all over the place, when nobody was safe, and everybody were having problems, and all of the nations around them were angry with them. And so when it was, when this calamity, and you can read the whole thing yourself, but when this calamity just kind of hit, you know, pitch, fever pitch, the people of God say, wait a minute, don't we have an answer? Don't we have a God? We got a God somewhere. Okay, this is what we do. We're going to go and turn our face to God. And when we do, God already knows we can't hang with him for too long. That's why he put a clause in there to say, when you seek me, you'll find me. And because when you seek me with your whole heart, why? Because he knows that even if one generation clings to him, perhaps two, eventually there's going to be the generation that don't know him, and they never knew him, and they're not interested in him. And they have to find him again. And so how does he bring his people back? He said, with teaching throughout the scripture, restoration has always been on the word of the Lord. It's always been on the law. It's always been on the Bible. It's always been on the scriptures. We've had all of these moves of God, and I mean these amazing moves of God by the Holy Spirit, but we have not had people changed by those moves. Why? Because you need to be taught. Teaching taps intelligence. Intelligence alters the will. The will commands the body. Preaching impacts sentiment, emotions. Your emotions are about a thrill, and the thrills are short-lived. That is why you take a class, you remember it, you listen to a fervent speech, and you can only get pieces of it. Why? Because we are built to learn line upon line, precept upon precept. So God said in 2 Chronicles 15, he said, but listen, part of the problem was that you had no teaching priests. You had a lot of preachers, a lot of people saying things, people doing what's right in their own eyes. If you go to Judges 17 and Judges 21, that is exactly what's laid out. That was the state before God brought them into, you know, the whole Samuel era. But the point that I want to make to you is that God's a true revival is not reviving your spirit. It's not you have feeling well. A true revival is bringing God's word back to light, bringing his word back online, bringing people back online with the word, because here is why it's important. Because people are suffering and they don't know why. People are losing and they don't know why. Their prayers are capped. They're facing this heavenly ceiling that just won't let them go. They're bombarded with problem after problem. And yet, being intelligently made creatures, they want answers and they can't find them. They're trying to find answers in what they hear across the pulpit, unaware that a lot of that is rhetoric from the preacher's own heart or from other spirits or other deities that are already mad with them and trying to destroy them. So when God wants to have a move, he's going to bring you back to his word. He will always bring you back to his word because that's all he's got. He has one thing that one instrument that he uses to make things happen, his word. His word in prophets, his word as Jesus Christ, his word in scripture. It's his word. You can't get around that because God created everything by his word. And, you know, in the beginning was the word, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, so he can't change it. So listen to this. This is important. I know you hear a lot of these passages and you think, oh, well, I already know that. No, you don't, because if you did, the one thing you would never let go in your life is access and comprehension of God's word. Now, the word has enormous strands to it. We don't have time to talk that. But here's this. God, if God gets ready to heal you, the Bible says he does it by his word. Even if he sends you to a doctor is going to voice the diagnosis. And then a doctor is going to voice the treatment. And then a doctor is going to voice the prognosis. And then you're going to go to a therapist, or the doctor is going to write you a prescription. And then the doctor is going to tell you to go to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist is going to read the prescription and then read the medicines that are there and feel that you understand that there is nothing in this planet can happen without words. Some sort of word, whether it's a word picture, whether it's an analogy, It doesn't matter. Nothing in this planet happens without words, but only the word of God brought it all into existence, and everything else is weaker than that. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but ultimately, it's the word. So here's the battlefield. The battlefield is your belief in God's word. When the enemy realized that it was the word of God that took him out again, and he realized that now God is engrafting the person of this word in every person he saves, and then passing this word on to outside of the boundaries of his only nation that had it, which was Israel, and God is spreading this word over all the earth, that became a problem for him. So the next defense was, let's discredit the word. Let's just tell everybody that it's not the word of God, that it was written by people, that it's the same this or that. But understand, it's all about a warfare. It's up to you to decide what formula for life that works for you. And if you're filled with the Spirit of Christ, you only have one formula. And that's the word in our Bible. That is why so much, and I said this to you, I believe last week, but this is hot on God's mind, but that is why so much attention is given to discrediting the Bible. They write, I mean, let's look at the movies. You got movies that's telling you they Bible stories without the Bible God. Come on, how you gonna have a Bible story without the Bible God? And you got saints that don't even miss them. Now, that's the sad part. You have saints that don't even miss that God is not in the stories they're telling. They don't miss that God, Jesus is not in the stories they're telling. They don't even miss. Do you realize how bad that is that you don't miss God in the stories that are supposed to be about him? That's like somebody giving you a birthday party, not telling you, and the people not even missing you at your party. That's how insignificant you have become to them, that they don't even miss that you didn't show up to your own party, and they came. So think about this as we go on. I want you to give up some thought to this because God is reviving his word. You know, the book that I wrote that we're still, working on getting it published, but just for the records you all pay, the title of the book is Before the Garden. It's a powerful book, and it takes you right back to where the word, but it cleans up a lot of things, and it clarifies things. What it doesn't clean, it clarifies, and what it doesn't clarify, it sanitizes for your own sanctification. And so we deal with a lot of things because God has been muddled in so much. But as I close this out, the thing I want you to know is that the next time you listen to somebody preach a sermon from God about God, or a series, I mean, everybody, sometimes, God just lets you move by the Spirit. But when you get a series or you go to a movie and they're talking to you about telling you this is the Bible and this is Christianity and this is religion or this is Christ and Jesus is missing, you need to recognize that is an adversary. That was an adversarial tactic, and that tactic was to separate you from your God and to get you to recognize that you can appropriate his resources and not give him 1 ounce of glory for it, not 1 ounce of credit. That's why it's important for God to revive things first with his word. Because otherwise you'll give credit to every other god. You'll give credit to all of these little things that they're promoting. You'll get credit to all the little fallen devils that Jesus destroyed. You'll give credit to your mama, your daddy, your preacher. You're going to give credit to your job, credit to your education. And then when the thing dries up, those things that you initially credited with that blessing are unable to replenish because they didn't plenish. So if they didn't plenish the first time, they can't replenish when it dries up. Hallelujah. So actually, that was my statement on how to really critique and verify a true revival. And it's never just with fishes and loaves, never just with the cake and the candy. It always starts. You can't even make a cake without words. You need the words for the recipe. We can know what you're putting in there. Hallelujah. Prophet?
Hallelujah. So true. There's so much that you said here, Dr. Price. I need to go back and listen to this again. I felt like we were in rapid fire learning mode. Bless God. Thinking about the difference. Well, you said about the true revival, but highlighting that piece about the difference between teaching and preaching that you ran through real quick there. I caught that. the difference between the two, that sometimes we'll get a good preach, but can we get a good teach? And really be transformed by that and not just have our emotions or our sentiments start up, but really be transformed in the whole. I have to go back and listen to the list because, see, you rattled off like those four things, and I got to go back and get them. but how God's word is also his instrument to make things happen. And the number one assault is to get us to not believe in God's word, to, even if it's in a hesitation and maybe you ultimately come around, eventually you will miss your windows in God,
mm-hmm.
because you have your own specific, you know, crash dummy test. The factory has done 1,001 crash dummy tests on this thing, but you buy it and then you have to do your own before you can take it on the road, and seasons go by and you just don't feel safe. And this whole thing goes on and it makes no sense. When we apply that rationale to other natural things, it just makes no sense to not believe in something that you supposedly have bought into. So it's a very eye-opening exhortation that you gave. I think that's going to cause insight and then different applications, thinking about, okay, if I'm hesitating about something, or if I don't know, or if I disagree, is this really the whole machine the enemy sets in motion for me not to believe in God's word and to believe more in his word than the Lord's? Because that's really what we're saying in essence. Well, I don't know. Well, I'll have to see. Well, this can go wrong and that can go wrong and this won't happen and that won't happen. And pretty soon God is like, I'm done talking. Because clearly it's to no effect. I mean, we do that in the natural. You say to somebody, they ask you a question, you give them your insight or your opinion or your counsel or wisdom, depending on your level of knowledge on the subject matter, and they ask you chronically, really? Are you sure? Okay. And then they don't do it. Well, don't ask me. And if you do, I'm just going to say you should ask somebody who you feel you can believe what they're saying, not necessarily if it's right or not, but who you can believe. And then we do that to God so much. And, you know, I'm working on that myself. Not always second-guessing or questioning, or you can believe him in these five things over here, but these two or three things over here, he's just going to have to prove himself for like 10 more years, and then maybe I'll believe him.
At which point you don't need it.
No, well, he doesn't need you. He's had to find someone else, because the point of the need is when he was telling you the first time, he was getting you ready, and you forestalling, he had to move on to someone else.
This is exactly the truth. Well, and I want to say to you, those of you who are listening, you don't want to miss my Monday Facebook post, because it's going to give you a whole different way of looking at the scriptures and also some tips on how to appreciate them, how to value them would probably be a better term, how to value them above all of the other texts that are out there that claim that they are better than. You know, we're going to talk about that. And so my Monday text is going to nail that home for you, so don't miss it. You know, the only reason I'm saying it now, Ash, is because I'm so excited. It took all I could to stop writing when I did, because it was flowing that much. But God has ways to do things. So when you check in with me Monday morning and you go to my Facebook post, you are going to be quite impressed with something that you'd never thought about with God. And that's something else about God's revival. He always kicks them off, even though it may be the same word, but with a dimension of it or an aspect of it that you never thought about. And it's those things that are meant to command your present attention and command your awareness. Because otherwise, that's why God limits revelation, because he wants to make sure you get all you can get out of the last thing he spoke. So he will make that thing will start looking circular and cyclical and recycled and all of that. Why? Because he wants you to get it all. But once you're full, then he'll start again, and he'll give you the same passages, but he wants you to look at it differently. So that's part of what we like to do here. That's what I do, like you to look at it differently. Well, Ashley, I have something. I'm ready for some calls. I got something unusual to say today as I go into our call time. I woke up this morning. God gave me the name of a woman. I don't know if you're on the line now, but if you are on the line, let Ashley know that you're on the line, and be prepared to tell her how we are going to know that you're the one. Because God talked to me about you for a good little while this morning. So you must have been up praying, or you're coming up on a time of fulfillment. And your name is Deborah Cooper. So if you, Deborah Cooper, are on this line, let Ashley know. and we're going to put your call through because there is something the Lord wants you to hear. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to put you right on through. Again, your name is Deborah Cooper. Deborah Cooper. I believe that's what God, yeah, I wrote it down, so I want to make sure it's right. Deborah Cooper. He wants you to let me know, because if you're on the line, God has a word for you. The other woman's name is Elaine. Whoever you are, if your name is Elaine, and I don't mean the ones that I know, because I know my Elaine, but if your name is Elaine, God also wants me to pray for you. So there are two people he woke me up this morning and said, I want to pray for. I want to pray for Deborah Cooper, and I want to pray for Elaine. Okay, now, Ashley, let's put the call. Now, listen, if you're not on the line, let me just say this before I go forward. If you are not on the line, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to, after you re-listen to this, because many of you don't listen to my show until the weekend, post on Facebook and let me know who you are. And be prepared to verify, because I don't, you know, I don't want to have to give you the wrong word, and I don't want your call and the Lord to tell me it's not you, because that's not going to make you feel good. So make sure you're the one that God is talking about, Deborah Cooper, and the other woman's first name is Elaine. Well, I'm saying first name may not be, but you too are what God wants to talk to today. All right, Prophet Ashley.
Wow, hot off the Holy Ghost press. Okay.
You know it's pretty hot when he wakes you up before you can get your eyes open saying, all right, this is it.
I'm telling you what, talk about, that's why you need somebody who prays and hears from God.
Yes, I'm telling you. So if either one of them, and I'm sure, yeah, but you know what? God wants to do things with this call every week, with our show. He wants to let people know that he's listening and he's hearing. And so when he does, I mean, that's not something that he does a lot. Obviously, you know, we haven't done it before. Well, maybe. But, you know, I have gotten that. You know, I've had that in different shows and different venues. But whatever this is a time for God to begin to tap people personally. And I think that's what he's saying. Who's going to be our first caller?
First caller on the line is Marcus from California. And he has your materials. He follows your ministry. And he's calling for prayer and insight. Marcus, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful, Marcus. How are you doing?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Listen, is this our first call, Marcus? Is this the first time you and I are talking?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
It is? So how did you find my show?
Facebook and also your internet page.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you called me, and I'm sure this is going to be a wonderful time for you today. So you want to talk to me and tell me what's on your heart?
Yes, I emailed you a few days ago. I don't know if you had a chance to check the email. You've probably been bombarded with a lot of emails. But I was definitely seeking you and some prayer answers about some guidance in my life, ministry-wise also, and just some career choices I had laid before the Lord and wanted to make sure that I'm hearing right.
Okay. I want to ask you, Marcus, are you married?
No, ma'am, I'm not.
Are you in a relationship right now?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, because that's what's on God's heart about you. That what's plaguing you about your relationship?
What is it? Say that again.
What's bothering you about your relationship? And I'm not saying it's sour, but there is something nagging you about your relationship right now, the one you're in. What's up with that?
Probably about the relationship with God and the person trying to get closer to him.
Well, I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost wants you to be very careful about how you pursue. And I don't know if you're considering it or not, but it is not time to contemplate marriage with this person. Your destiny is way too huge, and your history with God is too profound. And
okay.
There are times that we think, this is a true statement, there are times, sweet lady, nobody's knocking that, but I'm just telling you now about your calling. You asked about your calling and some guidance, so that's what I'm telling
yes.
you.
Yes,
okay?
Ma'am.
But the sweet lady, but you have to recognize that if when you meet somebody that you think God put you together with, if you've got to fix, change, wait, hope for, bake, incubate, and all of those kind of things in that person to get them where you are in Christ, that is not the one God gave you.
Yes, ma'am.
And so it's easy to fall in love with the flesh. The hardest thing is to bond with somebody in the spirit. And I'm telling you, because this, you're coming up on a tie, but let's just say this. The Holy Spirit says this person is in the way of who God chose.
They're what now? Say that again.
In the way. They're in the way of what God. And so I'm not telling you to hang up and break up right now. I'm telling you to go seek God on this and to find out, because you have some answers. There are three particular encounters you had, two tense moments, and you have an ongoing friction with this person that is going to really turn sour if you decide to make it permanent.
Okay.
And God wants you to know that. Not that they don't love you. Don't hear me. Don't get that. And I don't like, you know, it's not one of those things I like to do a lot, but it's something that sometimes we need to be warned. And God told me, I'm going to give you a word. I gave this word to several people, years back, but I've learned something about folks who are supposed to be married. If you make each other stronger, proportionately stronger, that's fine. There are some relationships that are passionate, they're fiery, they like the same things, but both people weaken the other, or they don't add anything to the other's strength. God wants you to marry a person who is strong in him, because there's a kingdom offer that you're going to have within the next, I want to say, 3 years, that requires you to have somebody strong on your arm.
Yes, ma'am.
And it requires you to have somebody who is demanding of God as you are. Because, see, you really put God to the test. You're going to ask God to do all of these hard things. You like that. That's how y'all been working. You know, everybody else is asking God for, you know, Lord, can I have just so-and-so? I'll be okay with. You're like, I'm not going to be okay with that.
Yeah.
I want this. You and God have that kind of thing, because you have a great, it may not be today. I think it's a little soon. I'm going to say it anyway. But God said you have a great apostles' call, and you know you're called to command the heavens and the earth. It's early yet. You're not there. So don't go running out there saying, okay, but that's who you are. But right now, God wants to deal with you in terms of your obedience to him. And the fact that you don't like to wait for things, you are, you know, God told me you have I don't know how old you are, and I probably should ask, but you have an Isaac destiny where God wanted you to wait and amass a certain thing before he got you tied up in the family. He needs you to acquire some things, you know. And God made Isaac, theoretically, made him wait until he was 40 to acquire things so that he had something for the woman that he brought in to enter, not because she was all of that wealthy, but because she was naturally talented. She was brilliant and needed challenges. Sometimes we get caught up in theology markets, and in our theology, we just pick people because they tell us, or somebody's pulling on us, or somebody's coming and said it's just time, and they don't know. But God says that you are a man who's going to amass much in life, and the wrong wife, the wrong spouse, is going to cause your achievements to be in a sieve, and they're just going to strain out. Just keep come in and go out, come in and go out, come in and go out. You need a thinker, you need a warrior, you need an intercessor, you need a prophet, you need an entrepreneur, you need a builder. I'm telling you, you ask God who you need, I'm giving you the profile of what God wants you to have.
Amen.
So you can go and waste your time with all of that other eye candy and arm charm. I'm telling you, God has a woman that has to help you keep the kingdom enterprise he's going to put in your hand.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can fit around and waste time, but you need to stop going and running through these things and really holding up somebody else's wife in your life.
Right.
And yes, so ma'am. That's going to happen for you. So I don't ask me about that. But that's what I hear God saying to you. You have a great apostolic call. You need to devote yourself to finding out what your ministry is. You need to go ahead and finish that education or get that other degree, because God needs you to be a very high-powered man. And you cannot just be an ecclesial apostle. You cannot just be the classic church guy. You have got to be an entrepreneur.
Yes, ma'am.
That is his word on your life. Am I close?
Yes, ma'am, you are. You're hitting the nail on the head.
You have a lot going on, and you can. I'm telling you, because the enemy doesn't want it to stay in your line, he's going to try to manipulate you into marrying the wrong person because he doesn't want it to stay in your line.
Yes, ma'am.
So you are going to have to be very circumspect about that. And I hope that whoever else is listening, you know, I've been keep telling you, this whole, you know, we all have this kind of Hollywood mindset of marriage. Well, I'm just going to give it all up for you, baby. You can give it up at 20 and 30, but when you get 50, 60, you're going to wish you had held on.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. We talk all that crazy stuff, and what, but honey, let me tell you, when you 50, 20, 30, you can get a second job, you know. You can go and do perhaps two or three business, 50, 60 years old, 70 years old. You're trying to reap.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're going to have to make sure that whoever you choose, because your call is a great call. God is so serious, and it's not far. You have to make sure that this person has the mind to build. You don't need somebody who's going to be whining about, you don't give me enough time. You don't need somebody whining about, okay, that's not what I signed up for. I'm telling you.
Yes, ma'am.
Whoever you are, I don't know you. We've never met. I may never see you personally, but this call was to make sure you got the right person, because there is a lot of people that we call Ruth who is not Ruth in truth.
Amen, 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 absolutely.
That's what he wants for you. So is there anything else I can answer for you before I pray?
I guess that's about it for me. You kind of hit the nail on the head with that. I was definitely petitioning God about that. And you were right. I do put God in. I kind of, it's a scripture that says, command ye me, God. And I do, you know, get in the face of God and I ask him and I challenge his word and I challenge his person because of the things he has walked me through. But in that, it has built my faith as well.
Well, you have a great thing. I'm telling you, God is going to use you apostolically in a major way. You are going to enter into an enterprise that's going to give you a nice chunk of the kingdom. And you're going to be well off, but it's going to have, and this is why it's important, it's going to have enormous responsibilities and enormous strengths, and you don't need a whining, nagging, insecure, inferior woman who's going to make you always feel guilty about pursuing your destiny.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
And that's what God doesn't want for you. Some people, it's okay. You know, some people, they like to play the game. But there are other people that, because when you love deep. Your love for God is very deep. Your history with God, you and God have fought. You all have wrestled. I mean, y'all have been there. And he has found, you have found a place in him. And so now God wants to entrust you with some things. And those things that he wants to entrust you with, they cannot get sacrificed on the altar of a poor marriage.
Yes, amen, amen. I agree by faith with that, amen.
All right, now, however way you do this, you, I mean, you can date this young lady. I don't know if she's, I don't want to say she is, but yeah, I do. So let me not even do that. But you're going to have to obey God. The biggest thing,
yes, ma'am,
that God says is that you do not want to get a whining, nagging woman. That's the first sign that she can't go the distance on your destiny.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, you don't want to get somebody who's not flexible, who's unadaptable. You want to get that woman who's going to pray you through and who's going to tell you before you tell her what God is doing in your life, and vice versa with you as far as she's concerned. So that's the profile. You ask God how to know, how to choose, what to pick. You know, if there are a lot of people who can marry for love, but there are a small number of people who must marry for destiny. You are
one
of them. So that's the God's word. So let me pray and move you on, okay, so I can try to get a couple more calls. Father, thank you so much for Marcus. Lord, thank you for his word. Thank you for the word that you've given him. Thank you for the light and the things that you want to do. God, I pray that you clear this up with him so that you can clear the way and to move into the relationship you want and get this thing on the books in time for you to fulfill the words that you've given him on his life. God, I'm looking back to when he's 16 years old. You are talking to him, giving him ideas, giving him visions, giving him purpose. People are telling him he's going to go one way. You're saying not so. He's in his heart. He can't even receive half of what they're saying because he knows that you have told him something to distinguish him from so many other folks, particularly in his family and in his sphere. So, God, I began to kickstart his destiny. I set in motion that which you've decreed on his life. And, God, I speak the arrangement and the alterations and the transition and shifting of the people and the family members and also jobs and career. I shift them and put them in perfect alignment with the destiny you have on his life. Now, God, bless him really good, but God, give his heart peace and let him know you are his daddy. You have been his daddy for a long time and that you have his purpose. You have his future in the palm of your hands. God, let him know it. I thank you for stepping up your relationship with him, stepping up your interactions with him so that he knows that you are in charge of what's about to happen and the things that are coming into his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I receive that by faith. Thank you, Paula Price. God bless you, woman of God. I love you. Stay prayerful, and I send Godspeed your way in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, too. God bless.
God bless. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
Yes, I'll co-sign on that love, Dr. Price. I love you, too.
That's right. You are my daughter girl.
That's it.
That's it. So, listen, who do we have next?
We have next on the line Betsy from Michigan, and she needs prayer for direction. So, Betsy from Michigan, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing much better than the last time you prayed for me a couple of years ago.
Oh, so that means you're moving up. So, Betsy, have you been crying?
No.
Okay, because it sounds, I just hear in the spirit that you've been crying out to God about something, so I was wondering what was on your heart.
So I have been seeking the Lord just for direction in my life, spiritually and in the natural.
Oh, okay, because I just hear it. I also hear tears, like, you know how you know somebody is saying, God, please, Lord, would you please? And I just keep hearing, the tears of your soul. God said to tell you, I hear your tears. Even the tears that you pour out at night, the frustration of, Lord, what is this all for and why did I do it? So I just wanted to start off our conversation off with the fact that God said, I'm hearing it. I'm listening and I'm hearing it. And even though it seems like God is not listening, especially sometimes at night in your room, it can seem so cold because God is that silent. He said, but I'm listening.
Praise God.
So tell me, what can I pray for you today?
I'm just really seeking the Lord for direction as far as a move. I have a house that I've had for sale for about a year that's not been sold, and that's kind of been tied up, and just praying for God to direct my life and my marriage and what direction we should go in.
Who is it, you or your husband that are supposed to go to another place for a job?
My husband.
Okay, because that's what, but right now the way it is, it's a long drive to this job, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what's difficult. Well, a couple of things that, because I saw it, God said, it's interesting because it's about the drive that's really messing with you guys.
Right.
It's a long drive, but the thing is, God wants him to you all see if you can work out testing the waters while you sell your house. But a second alternative is to see if you can lease it.
Well, we have two homes, but one we just need to sell. And I have somebody looking at it tomorrow.
Well, then let me pray you through, if that's the case. Let's pray you through. But in any event, this particular shift in your life, It's going to release you from some burdens. And I don't know how to say this any other way than how it's coming to me. And it's going to release you from some memories that just need to be done, you know?
Yeah.
There's sometimes you have to be released from memories. And sometimes even just relocation or cutting loose things from an old era, an old location can release you from memories and free you to build new memories and start new things.
Amen. Yes. I'm in agreement with that.
Well, let me pray for the sale of the house, because we need to get that out anyway, right? Father, in
Amen.
Jesus, I thank you that you put a spirit of attraction and appeal on this property. Lord, I thank you that even as you're putting your spirit of appeal on it, that those people who are coming to see it, that they are the ones that you've been speaking to, even as they're en route, as they're preparing for to view this house. I'm asking that you put it in their spirit, if they are the ones, to connect with the house, connect with this property immediately. And as they connect, Father God, that you would expedite the deal and set this family free to go into their future and to move into their destiny, God. I just see that there has to be a severing of some things for them to go forward. And so, God, I'm asking that you would release them from every noose about their neck, so that they can go forward and stand up and fulfill their purposes with you. God, I'm asking that you would settle them in the church you ordained, and Lord, to give them a sense of the new way you're going to lead them and guide them into your truth and into their growth and establishment in Jesus Christ. We bless you for doing this, Holy Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You got to let us know when the house sells.
It's a cash buyer, too.
Oh, well, that's good. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna do all right. But you know what? The one thing that I hear God saying for you is, again, hold on to your peace. Be at peace. Because you're talking about the house, you're talking about the job, but God says you got a lot of balls in the air. So I just want to close our conversation with encouraging you to just hold on to your peace. Don't give in to panic. Don't give in to panic.
Amen.
Amen?
I agree with that, yes.
All right, my beloved. Hey, let me know when it's done, because it's going to be fun to see how God makes this happen for you all.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Prophet, I'm going to get another call in. You see, I'm catching up with myself.
I see you. All right, next we have Jora. Jora is back on the line with you, Dr. Price. She's been moving forward with the advice that you gave her, and she's back for just, I think she needs a prayer touch-up for some clarity. So, Jora from Maryland, welcome back.
So, Jora, were you going to prayer touch-up today, huh? Is she there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right, so you got to get that mute button, I'll tell you. I know about the mute button. That thing I have you talking for 15 minutes. Nobody heard but you.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
I know the mute button because, you know, I roll with him all the time. You know, I've been on the show. I'm just chatting. Ash is like, Dr. Price, Dr. Price. I'm like, what is the mute button? How are you doing, beloved?
I'm doing well. And blessed to be back on the line today. Everything that you have spoken in the credo of my life has come to pass, and I've followed all the instruction and direction, and I find myself now in this place of transition where the Lord is speaking to me about there's some changes that I have to make and needing to move forward. So just encouragement and, like Prophet Ashley said, a touch-up prayer on whatever the Lord will release to you today. Mm-hmm.
I love a touch-up prayer. But, you know, I wanted to say, you know what I love about you? You have just the most pleasant voice. You are just I love your speaking voice. And so it's really good to hear that. I hope God gets a chance to use that voice a lot. Do you pray for people a lot, George?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, it must be a soothing prayer when you put it out there, isn't it?
Bless God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That is great.
It's
so
a pleasure to serve God's people. It really is.
Yeah, and you get a kick out of it. I got to tell you, you get a real kick out of it. You know, there are a lot of people who serve God's folk, and they're just resentful because they feel like he hijacked their lives. But then there are those people who say, God, thank you. You know, I'm glad you did. And I I think you're one of those people that God, you can say, God, thank you for hijacking my life, and because it was on the wrong path anyway. And thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I just say thank you. Because the Lord literally snatched you up while you were on the road to go on someplace that you weren't going to come back from.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So I'm glad that he did that. Now, you're talking about transition. What are we talking about? Are we talking about you moving or changing jobs or what?
It's ministry, and he's. I'm still working. Now, he hasn't given me the release from work. I mean, I haven't heard that at all. And so, just moving forward in the ministry that he has blessed and put, you know, forth through the earth through me. So, you had given me some strategy and direction as to how to continue on with that. And explain to me about why the fear had came along. So now I'm going to thrust back into that place of going forward. But there are some things that I have to let go in order to go forward.
Well, usually, I tell you the truth, when you have a ministry and God really changed the things that he cut off or the things that are not bearing fruit,
mm-hmm.
I see really dry branches.
Mm-hmm.
I see a suffocated vine. There are things that God wants you to cut off because they're folk that are not bearing fruit, and you love them dearly. You have a strong soul tie with them because they've helped you found, they help you build or whatever, but sometimes people get tired. So I think that the pruning that you're going to have is essential. And although you're not going to like it because you're one of those people, you're devoted to folks for like ever, amen. So, so it's not going to be easy for you. But I think that God's going to take it out of your hands. So you don't have to make the hard call, but God is going to take it out of your hands. But when he does, because he has to use human nature and human circumstances to do it, don't misread the situation.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we can misread it and start getting mad with folk and whatever, and the poor things, they're just caught up in a grip of the word of God come to pass. God just moved them on because, you know, there are people that we're supposed to touch and let go. There are people that we're supposed to attract and retain. And we have to know the difference between the two. And we can't vilify the people that the Lord told us to touch and let go.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And so even if they're close, you know, you're going to miss the coffee times. You're going to miss the dinners. You're going to miss the hangouts, the prayer time. That's fine. But understand, know that. And when you start moving more into this whole apostolic dimension, and I say apostolic because that's what it's like, but when you start moving into that, you're going to have to become very clear on who God tells you to spend yourself on, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes you get spent on folk that God didn't tell you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have to be very clear when it's time to say, you know what? I'm going to give you a little word. We're going to pray. We're going to let you sojourn with us a little bit. But I'm going to wait and God wants me to do
mm-hmm.
and how he wants us to proceed. And so if not, God says you're going to be weary all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the one word that's coming to me. I'm looking at this vine. It's going to get, trust me, God's going to point it back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because you failed, and it's not because you missed it. It's actually because you created a better ground for it to grow in.
Jesus.
Now, when this is done, then you're going to bloom. I mean bloom and blossom all over the place. And I see a nice, rich, lush green leaf bush. You're going to do well with that. I see the fruit. And I also see these beautiful white flowers coming out of it. I want to say roses, but they're not. They look, but they grow like they're roses, but then they change once they're grown. So I just know God is telling you, be at peace. You're doing well. Don't be impatient. You know how I told you before, you like stuff. Like, I'm going to need you to not like to have stuff in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have microwave saints,
mm-hmm.
okay, mm-hmm. and pizza oven kids. You can't do that.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to let people go in a crock pot, let them slow cook, you know,
mm-hmm.
and give them that time. You're part of where you are, and I think so many of us are, is that I've been at it a long time. I'm not young any longer. You know, I mean, my clock is ticking, and, you know, it's almost like, you know, like the women had a biological clock, and the ministers have the, you know, the eternal clock. Okay, my eternal clock is running down. I don't have a lot of time. I've got to get this done. And we want to rush people. God will let you finish all of your work. You will not leave this planet until you finish all your work. I see you way into your 80s.
Thank you, Lord.
You will not finish to leave this planet unless you really tick God off
mm-hmm.
or you step out of your call. You're going to be here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take your time.
Mm-hmm.
And God has a lot for you to do. There are a lot of things for you to do. I just see that, and there's something that God has you to do that you have to let him develop, because I see you getting this wonderful gold medal for doing it. So I know that it's an award type of thing. Let the Lord do what he's done. Because, you know, you need to do that, because God got to give you tokens, because you get lost with him. So he got to give you a token or three so you know that you and him are still on speaking terms, and he's still backing you. So
Jesus.
You know, some of us are like that with the Lord, but, you know, I like the fact that he is omniscient, omnipresent, and omni-everything. So
Amen.
He is everybody, and everybody is him. So he knows how he made us, and he made us to relate to him in a certain kind of way. Like my first caller, he built that person to talk to him and to reach into his territories that way. And he built you to need him to affirm you at very critical points so that you stay encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So today I can tell you, be encouraged.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said to tell you, the last word I have to say to you is, he said, look not at the things that are seen.
Mm-hmm.
For the things that are seen are temporal. So this thing that you're facing is a temporary, it's just a temporary shadow. It's not even a block or a barrier. It's just a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to pass. You know, you're going to do well. So anyway, I'm glad. I like talking with you. You have such a great voice. I'll be glad when you write your book, get your classes done, because, you know, you're dragging your feet on all of that. And so, you know, get your book written, get your classes
yes.
done, get
yes.
your trainings ready, because, see, God's waiting on you, and you think you're waiting on God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for bless her, continue to bless her. God, give her the inspiration and the motivation to finish pulling the pieces of this thing together so that it's something that you can run with, rely on, and that you can replicate in an expedient manner. God, I ask you to take the weight of concern and worry off of her. Take panic out of her and let her know she's got plenty of time to do everything you want her to do. And all that you've given her to do will be fulfilled in her lifetime. And I thank you for impressing that upon her. And then, God, let her not get any more words and prayers and prophecies to the contrary. Let her know that you are moving with her, that she's a slow cooker. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. And that you're with her even to the end of her journey on this planet. And we give you glory for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you again, Dr. Paula Price. Love you dearly. Be blessed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Stay in touch, and you know I love you, girl. So you listen, go be victorious.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ashley, I got time for one more. What you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You've been kind of quiet during this call. What's up with that? Are you taking notes again?
Yeah, Dr. Price, I'm always taking notes, but sometimes your wisdom just says it all.
Well, since I've got a little more wisdom left in me for today's call, I would love to speak to another person.
All right. I have on the line Judy from Illinois, and this is one of Apostle Nona's Judy from Illinois. So welcome to, she fell into the queue. She's like, oh, I'm in the queue. Okay. So welcome to the Power of Christ show, Judy.
Hi, how are you doing, Dr. Christ?
I am fine, Judy. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. It's good to hear your voice, and I am so excited about the forum. I'm actually going to make it to the forum this year.
Oh, now you know I'm thrilled. That is great news. I am thrilled. So now, Judy, what are you up to? You know, Judy, before you answer me, let me tell you this. Last week and the week before, you were on my heart. I was praying for you. So I know that the Lord wanted us to connect on this call today. So tell me, what's on your heart?
Well, I've been off of work for the past week. I ended up with a very bad sinus infection and a little pink eye. and I work in an establishment with people with disabilities. And I enjoy my job. And there's a couple of things that are going on in my job that I don't quite agree with. But, however, I am still there pressing my way and still praying through, you know, some of the things that are going on in the establishment that I work for. Outside of that, I'm building my business for the salon. I'm trying to, you know, build it. I don't really know. I got a lot going on in my mind right now. Working on my marriage. My twins are about to graduate this weekend, so I've got that on my mind. I'm kind of excited about that. But what I need the most is direction for my life so that I can start to begin to work on me and do the things that God has called me to do instead of putting everything else before what I need to be doing for the Lord.
Well, here's what I want to figure out. How many hours you got left to get something to the Lord?
Pardon me?
I want to know how many hours you have left to give anything to the Lord. Let's see. We got the marriage. We got the twins. We've got the business. We've got the job. We've got the homemaking. Help me at any point. Where is God going to fit in?
Right. And what I've been doing lately is I'm placing my priorities first by giving God some time in the beginning of the morning. I pray during the day, even when I'm at work. I try to get into some reading during my break time at work. My salon is not, full time. I only do that on call appointments only. So I try to give as much time as I can, and I've been pressing myself to give more time into what I need to do for God. And sometimes I feel like I'm not getting enough time.
Well, what do you think you need to be doing for God? I mean, what's making you uncomfortable?
Not knowing exactly what I'm called to do.
Okay, well, let me just help you out here. A couple things need to happen, and that is God says he is not ignoring you. He said he's not ignoring you. He's kind of put you at arm's length to let you wrap up a few things. You are such a enthusiast. You like to take on a lot of projects, and you like to take on a lot of things at one time. But God wants you to begin to settle down some things. He said to tell you, I know your times and seasons. The process.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the pressure that you feel to feel like you're inadequate and you're not doing, that's pressure you're putting on yourself.
Okay.
A strong prayer life, God's word. Build a strong prayer life, finish what you say you're going to do in your church, get your kids through wherever they have to get through, and then let God speak to you. But right now, God, going on, but the biggest thing God wants you to do is become a finisher. To wrap up some things. So he's not giving you anything new because he needs you to wrap up some things. Judy, does that speak to you at all?
Hold on one second. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I had this cord in my phone listening through my earbuds, and it kept going in and out, so I wasn't able to hear the last part of what you said.
I said, what God wants you to do is become a finisher. He needs you to wrap up some things, close out some things. You've got a lot of open drawers in your life, a lot of open baskets that he wants you to just finish. Just wrap it up. And then he can talk to you. But God's not going to overwhelm you, because the more you hear, the worse you feel, because you feel like you're failing.
Okay.
Now, is it possible for you to get into a quieter place?
Yes, ma'am. doing it right now.
Okay. All
yes,
right. So here's what I want you to know. I want you to sit down this weekend when you get, you know, catch your breath. I want you to pull out a nice notepad. I want you to list all of the things that you have pending, all of your pending this, pending that. Didn't finish this, didn't close out that, started this, going to finish that. God said list them all. Now, after you list them, prioritize them. Now, don't just prioritize them according to importance. Prioritize them also according to what can be wrapped up and closed out quickly.
Okay, okay.
Once you do that, then you follow your list, close out those items, close out those outstanding projects. I don't care what they are, and the things that cannot be wrapped up, put them at the bottom, because then once you finish closing out those items, now we're going to schedule the time you're going to give the things that cannot be wrapped up quickly. And so you're going to outline what they need and then give it a timeline to finish them. Because what God is working on with you is closure and discipline to close, because you're an enthusiast. You get excited about stuff. You love new things. You are going to have a lot of opportunity to do some really great things in your life. But God wants you to not have a bunch of new things open and not finish them, because then you don't know how well he has blessed you.
Yes, ma'am.
That is his word for you today. Okay, let me pray, because we're kind of running out. I want to pray with you before we hang up, but I want you to hear me, Judy. The Holy Spirit is saying, I'm not telling you anymore to do, because I need you to finish up some things.
Yeah.
And I need you to wrap them up, because otherwise, trust me, those of you who are listening to me on this call today, I want you to, all of you, think about that. There are a lot of times God seems silent and you think he's angry or whatever. God is like, I'm God. My words bring forth. So why am I going to bombard you with a bunch of things you either can't do, you can't do because you don't have time, your demands are too heavy, or you need more training, exposure, et cetera, to do them. So what he does is he allows you to work through the projects that he's given you, to handle the things with your family, if that's the case, so that he can get your full intention. And I want to say to you all today, take the advice I'm giving her. Write out the things that you have open. Jump on the things that you can finish quickly, and then work on the things systematically that are going to take you a long time before you start asking God for something new. Restlessness is not always an indication of something new to undertake. Sometimes restlessness has to do with being overwhelmed. And so and sometimes restlessness is just momentary restlessness. And it doesn't mean that you have to make major changes in your life or take on massive projects just to occupy yourself or, again, as I'm saying here, to do something different. So that is my suggestion to you all today, to you personally, Judy, but to everyone else who's listening who shares that restlessness. Because I hear in the spirit a spiritual restlessness that's going on, and people are rustling around trying to do this or that because we think we're running out of time, or we think the world is going to change before we get a chance to do what God called us to do, or any of those things. So let me just say that to you today. Let's close out some things. Let's close some drawers. Let's pack away some things. Let's finish off some projects. Then let's go to God and say, okay, God, we've done those things. What's next?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for Judy. Thank you, God, thank you for her, her love for you, her devotion for you, her commitment to you, but God, also for her enthusiasm and zeal. We need more zealous like her in the kingdom. God, as she sits down and tackles this little assignment that I gave her to do, I'm asking that you speak to her, have her put down on that paper everything that she has opened that you need her to finish. God, guide her to prioritizing it, and then give her the grace, Lord, and the motivation to finish it, to wrap them up, so that the thing that's literally nagging in the bottom of her soul can rise to the surface and be understood and addressed. I thank you for doing this for her, Father. In Jesus' omnipotent name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price. As always, I love you and I love your family.
Oh, thank you. Listen, I can't wait for you to see you in June. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. Meanwhile, you be blessed, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Yes, ma'am. That was some good counsel there. I think I might take for myself.
You got a few things open and hanging?
I'm sure I do. Some I know for sure, and others I yes. I'll just say yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Ashley, as we only have a few minutes left, one of the things that I would like to say on this subject is that when you're very bright, very energetic, very creative, you will always, you know, you have no lack of ideas or lack of diversions to get involved in. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, being, you know, very ingenious and things like that. But what happens is, if you have that and you allow it to run free without attaching it to particular purposes, then you keep doing this and then you don't finish, and then you do this and you don't finish. And after a while, you're fatigued just because of all of the open things that are in your life. There's no other reason. You're just fatigued, and you have to kind of pick a Saturday. I always say Saturday, but I'm saying it's more symbolically than anything else. But just pick a day and buckle under and say, okay, I'm closing this out, I'm closing that out. But until you write it out, you don't know what to close out, because some of those things are kind of roaming around your subconscious. You don't even remember them any longer. So I would say to everybody who is there, you know, because we're like that. And then with God, come on, God is always thinking through us. He's got other stuff going on. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be in his world and in his kingdom, but it can be a little tiring if we don't have the discipline and the commitment that it takes to take something that he gives us from start to finish, and to avoid having all of these open doors and open drawers and open cabinets in our life. Sometimes you just got to wrap things up and finish it. So I think that's a good point to close on this week, Ashley. What do you
Amen.
Think?
I definitely agree. And you don't realize how all the little unfinished things do whittle at your focus. They whittle at your energy. And even if you push them to the back and to the back, it's like your computer running with all of these programs. And it slows the whole thing down, even though you can't tell what's open and what's not. You have to go in and shut them down so that your system can pick up speed again.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, particularly when we say, but I just want God to tell me what to do, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just cease speaking, at least overtly, and begin to watch and wait to just, and often try to nudge you into wrapping up some things and saying, what about the thing you did so-and-so, you know? Or he'll start bringing all of these things to your mind and letting you know it's these unfinished tasks or these unfinished projects that are weighing heavily on you, making you feel futile, make you feel frustrated, make you feel ineffective. So you ultimately, I can do, because here's how it sounds. I can do a lot of things, but what am I accomplishing? Well, you attempted everything you can do, but you didn't complete them, so you don't feel like you've accomplished anything. So this week, I think it's a great challenge to put out here for our listeners, that you would begin to wrap up some things that you have been working on. I don't care if it's painting a room, writing a book, researching something, finding the lost shoe, the whatever, you know. How about calling people, visiting folks, launching your ministry, cleaning out the closet, paying bills, whatever that is, but just list all of these unfinished intents that you've had where you attempted and you began it and you didn't get it done, and then prioritize them and truly, you know, put on some wonderful praise music and just pick a time where you just work through and whittle that list down. It's at the point that you whittle it down and you begin to feel as if you're effective again. Because when you have a bunch of unfinished tasks, you always feel ineffective. And when you feel ineffective, that because we love the Lord and we're filled with the Spirit, you tend to use that sentiment to convince yourself that you have or are somehow failing God. That's something you want to avoid. finish your task, and once you become productive, because God built us to bear fruit, he built us to be productive, once you become productive again, that feeling of futility, that feeling of uselessness and just really ineffectiveness will just leave you, because you can look at your list and say, yeah, but I did this, 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 and this. I completed that, 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 and that. So take my advice, take up the challenge, and listen, guys, let me know on Facebook how it goes. I'm very interested in how things work in your life. Well, we're running out of time, so I'm going to get out of here. We love you dearly. We'll talk with you next week. And meanwhile, be blessed. And again, get those things off your desk. Wrap up what you can. God bless you until next Thursday.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.